Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Baby, y'all can be seated. We're going to have my friends come. We're going to play some bluegrass music for you this morning. Please welcome my friends. This is Dennis Aporin, my friend. Give him a hand. Would you please? Blatter on guitar. Give him a hand, please. The great Tony Sijilski on mandolin. And the awesome Aaron Bakke on bass. Yeah, man. They love you, bro. Kick us up. Thanks, you guys. Aren't these guys awesome? I'm telling you what, they're just a joy to play with. And Tony does the best Rodney Dangerfield I've ever heard. He said, I'm telling you. He just did that right there. He does that. This song is for all of those who are living in the in-between. The promises of God are coming true. They are going to happen. Jesus proved it by his own resurrection. You might be living between that time, between heartache and resolution. This song's about that. These 20 acres, one ginny mule from the Alabama Trust, half of the cotton, a third of the corn, get a handful of dust. We cannot have all things to please us, no matter how we try, till we've all gone to Jesus, we can only wonder why. Thank you. had a little daughter, called her Annabelle. She's the apple of my eye. Tried to give her something like I never had. Didn't wanna ever see her cry. We cannot have all things to please us, no matter how we try, till we've all gone to Jesus. We can only wonder. I'll take a hard life of tears. Every day I've ever known, Anna's in the churchyard. She got no life at all, just these words on a stone. We cannot have all things to please us, no matter till we've all gone to Jesus. We can only wonder why. Guys are so much fun to play with, I'll tell you. All right, playing a Hank Williams song at church. Here you go. Here you go. Dennis, you gonna give us kick off here, buddy?
Yeah, I gotta get my picks on.
Gotta get his picks on. Just a minute here. So aimless, my heart filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claim for my own. Then just like the blind man, God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord.
Lord, I saw the light.
Was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Sing!
I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight.
Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 1 for just a few minutes, will you please? Let's pray before we read the scriptures, shall we? Lord, thank you for your word, and we ask that you would open it up to us today, and that you would continue this great change that you're bringing into all of our lives. We thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 1, there's this incredible description of who Jesus is and where he came from. But I want to just look at verse 18, if we could.
Let me read it to you. Speaking of Jesus, old John says, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." I'm going to read that one more time. "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." What makes this, what we believe, so incredible is who Jesus is. Who he is. What qualifies him to be God the Father's sole representative to the whole world? And guys, that offends everybody. Because we live in a world where over half the people alive don't believe that you can actually know anything that's true. It's all personal. It might be true to you, but it's not true to me. And that doesn't work out in physics or medicine or any of the other things. But for some reason, we have this problem. And of course, because he's like all mythological religious figures in that he actually existed in history. I mean, the historians have referred to him throughout his time. He's an actual historical person, and he's not. This isn't some closed religious system that you have to turn off your brain in order to accept it. There's a definition of faith that somebody gave. Faith is believing in something that you know isn't true. What a dumb thing. I guess some faiths might be that, but not the faith of those who believe in Jesus. I had this an abused girl. Sweet, sweet girl. She moved out west with a new husband, and he turned into the monster that he really is. And he abused her terribly, terribly. And she escaped. And she stayed in a woman's shelter for a while. God bless those guys, and God bless that work. It was a wonderful help to her. But what wasn't help is that there was a counselor within that group that said to her, "Since men abused you, you should not worship a man." And she gave her some alternatives, alternative gods from mythology. "Oh, here, you can worship Aphrodite's of this group, or you know, of Diana of that group, and all these female gods." And she said, "Well, she was telling one of you girls here that she actually had considered this. The only problem is those beings don't exist. They're the figment of someone's imagination." They're a man-made religion. They're not real. What qualifies Jesus is that he is real. As you walk through this, you're going to continue to learn about Jesus and what he did, and that he's real, and he reflects to us the real world. You don't have to turn your brain off in order to believe in Jesus. In fact, when you believe in Jesus, everything begins to fit. It all starts to fit together, and we don't have to make up some kind of world in our mind. It's the real world. We find out why the world's so messed up. You find out why you and I are so messed up. We find out real answers and all of that. The real world comes into focus, clarity. Well, Jesus has these qualifications of why he could represent God. And it offends, you know, I read at a lot of funerals, I'll read John chapter 14, where Jesus says something, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." That freaks people out. How dare you say that you can be that exclusive? Well, there's a reason. And that is because he's the only one qualified. Let me tell you about Jesus' qualifications. It says here in the verse we read, "No one has ever seen God." No one has really, I mean, they've had some apparitions and some things like that, but they have not, no one has actually known him. And Jesus comes, and he's called, and look how they refer to Jesus. But God, speaking of Jesus, they call him God. In fact, it's John who was quoted just a few verses before this, John the Baptist. John says something about Jesus here, though, which is really interesting to me. It says in verse 15, John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me." Get this weird language. "He who comes after me," Jesus was born a few months after John. "He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." What? He's God. And since he is God, he has always existed. Humans don't. We exist when we are conceived in the womb, and from then on we become eternal, but not before that. Jesus is God. He said to people that were trying to ask him where he got his authority, he said to these group, "Before Abraham was, I am," and it just
freaked them out. They wanted to kill him. He said, I've done a lot of good things. Why do you want to kill me? They said, because you, being a man, claim to be God. He didn't refute that because that's exactly what he was saying. In fact, it's the Father in Hebrews chapter 1, God the Father, who says of God the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. He's qualified. He's qualified because he's eternal. You know, if you want to know about the Depression, ask somebody that was there. It's pretty simple. My buddy Bob Rotrammel, he's buried up the street in the old cemetery up here. Bob was a great guy. He always wore fancy cowboy boots. It was like 1980. I didn't know what I was doing, you know, as a pastor and all of that. I mean, I was in my 20s, and you guys were putting up with me, and I don't know how we got through all that. But anyhow, Bob helped me so much. He is such a good man. But I remember, now, Bob, born in 1906, he was an adult during the Depression. I had read a lot of stuff about the Depression era, so I asked him about it. He told me about living in Chicago as a 20-some-year-old when it hit. The day of the crash, he saw people jumping out of some windows. He was there. You want to know about the Depression? Ask him. You have to get to heaven now to ask him because he's there. He's been gone for 37 years this year. I miss him. He was a good man. But if you want to know, ask somebody who was there. You can ask my Uncle Bud. He's 95. Uncle Bud will tell you about the Depression in Missouri, in misery. He'll tell you all about it because he was there, okay? Jesus is qualified to tell us about God the Father and tell us the truth because he's lived forever, eternity past and eternity in the future. From age to age, he is God. He's always existed. Before the worlds were created, before there ever was a heaven or an earth, before there was ever angelic beings, it was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and living in perfect unity with one another. And they created us. Jesus is God, which is pretty cool. You know what's really bad? If you notice news is not news anymore. News is now a political tool to get people to believe what you think. And we see it so many times in reporters that get half of a story and run with it because the conclusion of the story supports their worldview that they want everybody else to believe. And so they put out this story or they put out this book and come to find out they didn't have the right information. There's one person that has all the right information because he lives forever and has been a witness to everything. Incredible statement in Hebrews chapter 1. The Father talks about the Son, through whom he made the worlds. I mean, man, talk about qualified. He is. The Bible says nothing is hidden from you, and that is so true. Jesus knew what was in the hearts of men. He just knows it all. He's God. He can't learn. He knows everything. Second of all, it says not only that, but God, and then he's called the one and only. That means he was appointed for what he did. By God the Father. Let me read this to you. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets and at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And here it comes. Whom he appointed heir over all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus is the representative. He has been appointed for this by God the Father. You know, others have tried to take this position in our world. And Jesus said, all who came before me were liars, robbers. So if you want to know the real God, you look at Jesus. He's the only one that God appointed to let the human race know what he was like and who he was. And of course, we just celebrated the other part of Jesus' work, and that is that he died for our sins and were resurrected from the dead. But in order to understand why this is true is because we have to know the rest of this. Not only is he God, he's the one and only. My dad fell this week. Boy, he's really, really feeble now, you guys. You know, he said something to me while he was in the hospital. They had to, kind of fix his nose. He landed into a table. He kept waking up every few minutes and he'd go, Thomas, where am I at? And where am I? I said, Dad, you're in the hospital. Oh, what happened? I said, you fell down. And then I said, you hit your nose against the table and split it open. And you know what he said? Biggest part of my body. The nose. You know, he went through all of this. We waited until the middle of the night in the hospital to bring him home the other night, and I wasn't going to leave him there. And there, everything else, you know, no neck break, no. He had some bruises, but you know, nothing that was going to harm him. So I'd taken him home in the Honda. He is so fun. He said two things. First of all, he said, "You know, Thomas, your mother's been coming to see me. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if his time isn't far. Anyhow, your mother's been coming to see me." I said, "Really, Dad?" He said, "Oh, beautiful as ever. Isn't that something?" And then we're driving on I-75, and he just busts out, "Some glad morning when this life is over." Now look, he looks like Frankenstein's brother. He's got blood dried all over him. He's got all these cuts and bruises, and he's doing this, "Some glad morning," when he just starts singing the song, man. Isn't that sweet? Oh, gosh, he surprises me every time I'm around him. I want you to know something about the old guy. I am his personal representative. He trusts me because he's made me his personal representative in this world. Whatever I sign for, whatever I say, is what are his wishes. He's told me everything he wants done or not done for him. And I am committed to do what my Father says. That's exactly what Jesus came here as. The legal representative of God the Father. He came here, and what he says is exactly on the money. "I came from God," Jesus said, "and I am now here. I've not come on my own, but he sent me." But God, the one and only, there's so much to be said about this, but we only have a moment. He's eternal. He's the appointed one. And get this, he's the informed one. Let me tell you why Jesus is the informed one. It says here, "But God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side." I mean, that's an okay translation. The literal translation is "the one who's in the Father's bosom." Buried my friend Jean yesterday. She was a sweet lady. When my dad's sister was dying of Alzheimer's, we would go over to the house on Thursday mornings and pick and grin and sing the old hymns. And my aunt knew all those songs. Couldn't talk anymore. She knew all those songs, and Jean would come and help us sing. She was a member of the old Columbia Avenue Baptist Church. She never said Baptist. She said Baptist is what she always said. Hey, by the way, I don't mean to be beating on the Baptist today. I don't mean to do that. But she just was, and she could sing. Woo, she had harmony and all that. Well, she died, and yesterday when I did her funeral, her little friend that used to come with her to sing, she came up to me and said something very, very sweet. She said, "You know, Jean and I, we were bosom friends." Nobody says that anymore but the old people. "We were bosom friends." I said, "Really?" She goes, "Yep, honey, we knew each other's secrets." Jesus came here, and he has been with God the Father and the Holy Spirit for eternity. He knows it all. He knows the secrets. You see, he's the eternal one, he's the appointed one, and he's the informed one. So he came and he told us. He said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man," that's the crucifixion, "then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing of my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Jesus was his complete representative. So since that's true of Jesus, I conclude by saying this. He's the only one that could take on our sin and our curse. He took it on. He died for our sins. Only God could do that. He's eternal. He is infinite. We're just finite. He has the value to die for our sins. He did all of that. He died for us and was raised from the dead. So since he's the informed one, the Bible is in itself the tell-all book, the ultimate tell-all book. Don't neglect it. So we talk a lot about Jesus around here. We do that because he is the eternal God. He is the one and only that was sent from the Father. And he is the one who is in the Father's bosom, who is the informed one. He's the only one that told us the truth. So you run to him with your questions. When he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come through the Father except through me," he's not trying to tick you off. He's telling you the truth to save your life. When he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest," it's because he can. Because of who he is. You think about that. Let's stand together to pray. And gentlemen, come. Let's grab our instruments one more time. Let's play that song. Come on. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we're yours. And And so, Lord, we just don't want to like follow some religion. We want you to be active in our lives. So we offer ourselves to you and ask you to continue to reveal yourself to us. Father, there's some friends of mine here that don't know you yet, and I ask that you would invade each life, and that those of us who do know you would just be more amazed at who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, kick us off, bro.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Come on, play, brother, come on.
When the shadows of this life have gone, just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a home where joy shall never end. I'll fly away.
Sing it.
I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away, Lord, when I die. Hallelujah, by.
God bless you guys. Have a great day. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.